The 23rd Psalm is probably the most well-known and loved psalm in the entire book of 150 psalms. Perhaps the most well-known chapter in the entire Bible. Many have had high opinions of the 23rd Psalm. Some of them are these. The famous British Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon called it the pearl of psalms. Another commentator said that there is no psalm in which the absence of all doubt, misgiving, fear, and anxiety is so remarkable. Another said it has dried many tears and supplied the mold into which many hearts have poured their peaceful faith. Millions of people have memorized this psalm. In fact, when I was in the third grade, my teacher, Mrs. Brawley, had our entire class memorize the 23rd Psalm. It's hard to believe we used to do that, right? Some have repeated this psalm in their final moments of life, but actually the very first line of this can stand by itself. The Lord is my shepherd. The word Lord is the translation of the name that God used to introduce himself to Moses at the burning bush. It is his name, and it literally means I am who I am. It speaks to the inexhaustible and completely self-sufficient nature of God. God's self-sufficiency means that he does not need anything. He has all wisdom within himself. He is all powerful. He does not need to be worshiped. He does not need to be helped or to be served. He is not accountable to anyone. He answers only to himself. And it also speaks to his timelessness. Timelessness means that he is always the same. His attributes are always the same. He was like this yesterday. He is the same today. He will be the same tomorrow. He will be unchanged and unchangeable forever. He is the great I am. As it's often been pointed out, a shepherd was on the lowest end of the social strata. It usually went to the youngest son, as in the case of David, the author of this psalm. Jesse had a son, David, and he was the youngest of seven older brothers. So he was the one that got to be out with the sheep. Now, shepherds, they had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day. And their job was usually the same as with babies and toddlers. It was unending. Some of you can testify to that, right? It just never quits. Well, that's the way it is with herding sheep. Day and night, summer and winter, in good weather and bad, they had to guide and protect the sheep. Now, who would want this never-ending job? But David says that Jehovah God, the God of the universe, has chosen to take this on, to take care of you and to take care of me. And Jesus also spoke of this responsibility that he had taken on for his people. In Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep, we read this. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he hopefully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. He was also teaching, and we have this recorded in John chapter 10, Jesus speaking here, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Moving down to verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Verse 13, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Here, Jesus is talking about Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles, that's us. He was talking to us. We're part of that flock. Jesus is our shepherd. He was reminding the Jews that God had intended for them to be a blessing to the world. They were to be missionaries to a lost world, not limited to their own group. Jesus was shepherd to all people and for all people. So that's our responsibility this morning, since we've been called to do as he's asked us to be more than just ourselves, but to reach out. At the beginning of this psalm, it says, I will lack nothing. I will lack nothing. Other translations say, I shall not want. But that's the point. You will not be in need. Left on their own, sheep, however, lack everything. They're helpless animals. They are so needy. Kind of like us. But Jesus is completely able to provide everything we need. His ability to provide is inexhaustible. What is it that we shall not lack? Rest. In verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads us to rest. Sheep don't lie down easily, however. It seems that there are four requirements for them to lie down and relax. I learned this week. And they are, they have to be free of fear. They have to be at ease with the other sheep. They will not lie down if flies or other insects are after them. And fourthly, they can't be hungry. They have to have enough food to lie down. So fear, friction, flies, and famine, sheep have to be free of all this to be contented. And only the shepherd can provide the trust, the peace, the deliverance, and the pasture to provide everything needed to free the sheep from these four areas. It's interesting that the psalm begins with rest. It's a reminder to us that the Christian life does not begin with doing stuff. It begins with resting in our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it takes us a long time to learn that, doesn't it? That we need to first rest in him, trust him. Then we can do what he's called us to. Along the way, as we move forward in life, you know, there's lots of stuff that we are needing to do. But we begin by resting in him, the one who has done everything for us. So, question this morning for you, first question, are you resting in Jesus? Have you found Jesus to be the perfect provider for all of your needs? Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In John 6:35, he declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Before he was crucified, he said to his disciples in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So first of all, I will lack nothing. Next, I will have life. That's because he refreshes my soul. I will have life. In sheep world, the shepherd will often find these sheep lying down in a depression in the ground, and where they've stretched out to rest, which can cause them to tip slightly on their side. Gravity takes over. They're flipped further over on their back, and their legs are not able to get traction to reach the ground. They may start to panic and paw at the ground, which only makes things worse, and they roll over even further. If they can't get upright, gases build up in the body, cutting off circulation to their legs, and in a few hours, they will die. And the only person who can restore the sheep to health is the shepherd. See yourself up there anywhere? Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We are spiritually on our backs, helpless. But the good shepherd, Jesus, comes to us when we are in a place in our life, when we are in that place in our lives. And just as he restored Peter after Peter denied him at the crucifixion, he will restore us. He gets us up on our feet and gets us going again. So I will lack nothing. I will have life, and I will have a guide. Psalm 23:3. This is because the Lord guides me in the right paths for his name's sake. Sheep are goofy, foolish creatures. They're called by some the most stupid animals on the planet. That's not my quote, so don't send me an email. This is evidenced in how easily they can wander away. Here's what they'll do. They can have a good shepherd who brings them to the best grazing lands with lots of water, and they still wander away to places where there is no grass and the water is undrinkable. They're creatures of habit. They will come to a good grazing spot and eat until every blade is eaten and all the roots are gone, which means, of course, that the fields are ruined and they have nothing to eat. So sheep require a lot of attention. So a good shepherd is necessary to their survival. There's lots of comparisons here for us humans to be found in observing sheep. Isaiah 53:6 says this, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him," and that him, by the way, is the Messiah. "The Lord has laid on the Messiah the iniquity of us all." God was going to send the Messiah to bring these sheep back to the fold. So, next question. Are you still wandering around going on your own way this morning? You know, there is a shepherd available to you today. Next, I will have safety. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This verse is often used to comfort those who are dying. God is certainly with us to provide comfort when we are dying. However, this verse speaks to the shepherd's ability to protect his sheep when danger comes. The picture here is of moving the sheep from the lowlands, where they spend the winter, through the valleys into the high pastures, where they spend the summer. Now, the valley provides good pasture and water as well, but there's danger there as well. Wild animals can hide in canyon walls. Rain can bring high water and flooding. The high walls can cause shadows which hide the threats or danger and even death from predators. This journey that you and I are on has been provided by God with green pastures. The shadows and even dangers are a part of that plan as well. That's important because while pleasant pastures and tranquil waters are provided for us, there will also be challenges, won't there? You've discovered many of those. Christian life is not always tranquil. We can't live our entire lives on the mountain as much as we'd like to. We also have to spend time in the valley. You know, it's in the valley where we learn character, where we develop character. It's there also in the valley that we find the answer to our fear in the presence of the Savior. We learn and grow deeper when we spend time in the valley. Just like with the sheep, our shepherd is the only one who can provide protection and calm anxieties this morning. I will be provided for. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. A good shepherd will go ahead of the sheep and prepare the new pasture lands. He'll take out physical hazards. He'll remove poisonous plants. He'll drive predators away. In this part of the world, hospitality was expected. That's the reference there in that verse. Hospitality was expected. It meant you provided food and drink for the travel-weary visitor. Pastor and scholar James Boyce wrote this, if we will allow God to lead us where He will, we will find that the table has been prepared for us. Our heads have been anointed with purest oil, and our cups have been filled to overflowing with the wine of pure joy. In the ancient Middle East culture, at a feast or a banquet, it was customary to anoint guests with an oil that had a fragrance. So if you got a picture of vegetable oil in your head, that's not what this is referring to, okay? Hosts were expected to protect guests while they were there as well. God offers us protection even when our enemies are all around us. And we all have some, I believe, but He's always there to protect us. He is your hedge of protection from Satan every moment of your life. Next, I will have a home in heaven. The 23rd Psalm portrays life as a pilgrimage or a journey. In the final verse, the psalmist comes to life's goal. Life's goal meaning God's house, heaven. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why would the psalmist speak of goodness and love? Well, it's because our God is a good shepherd, and He loves us. He provides for us, and He's compassionate and loving to us. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, when God was speaking about Himself to Moses, He said this, and He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. As a shepherd takes care of his sheep, or a parent cares for their child, God takes care of us. It could be that you had a difficult time growing up because maybe you had a parent that was always mad at you. Maybe you were expected to be perfect. You never seemed to be enough. You were never smart enough, athletic enough, pretty enough, good enough, or maybe your parents were never around. Maybe this loving, compassionate father/shepherd picture that I've painted this morning sounds like fiction to you. A caring, compassionate figure doesn't seem like a reality at all for you. But for others, many of you, this taps into the deep part of your soul. You understand that the love of a parent for their kids is as strong as it gets. That's how God feels about us. That's how He feels about you. His grace and mercy will take you through the valleys. He will protect you on the journey. He will lift you up on the mountaintops. His mercy knows no end. And you and I can live in the house of the Lord forever. Well, here's some good news today. You were made for more. That's why He's done all this preparation for you. That's why He went to prepare a place for you. So the next question I would ask this morning is, are you living without a purpose? In spite of all God is providing and has provided for you, are you living with doubt and disbelief in your life? You know, here's what we sang a few moments ago. Sometimes words just fly by and we don't dig into the deep consideration. So we're going to go over this. I know who I am because I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start, only the start. Now I am chosen, free, and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. Because I wasn't made to be tending a grave. In other words, we're not just supposed to be sitting around waiting to die or to get past this world. Because I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was born once to parents, but I was born again to the Father. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past. I'm not going back. So this morning, ask yourself this. In what area of my life have I wandered away from the shepherd, refusing his guidance and rest? Where do I struggle to find the peace that is offered to me? What do I hear God whispering to me? In what area of my life am I rejecting or resisting God's abundant provision? He has provided so much for us. Are you resisting him today? Perhaps it's time to give in and let him have his will for you. Are you having trouble getting over your past that speaks of negativity and struggle? Have you given yourself to him? I hope this morning you can answer all these in a positive way, that you have given up and given in to the will of God for your life, because he has a great plan and purpose. And if you're still working on that, know this: all of us who are on this journey together are always working on God's plan and purpose for us for the next day, the next week, month, or years. It's always about finding his plan and purpose. Always. Pray with me. Father, we know that the greatest place to be in all of our lives is when we find your plan and purpose for us. When we know what the next day will bring, because even though we're not sure of all the details, we know that you provided for us and you want the best for us. This morning, some may be struggling with exactly what that is. But Father, it's my prayer that we will discover it, that we will allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us. As most of us that are sitting here this morning in this room are believers, we can still miss your plan for us. We want to be more. We want our lives to count. We want to serve your Son. Help us to know how to do that better. We know you've given us all the tools. We just need to surrender them to you. So now have your will in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? It could be this morning that you have a decision to make about something important. And it could be that you want to make that decision right there where you are. Or you might want to come and pray up here at the front of the room. You might want me to pray with you. Perhaps you thought you had met him, but lately there's been this nagging whatever that you're not sure about your salvation. We can nail that down this morning. It just takes your willingness. So whatever decision you need to make in this time, I pray that you would respond and you would let God lead you in what he wants to do with your life this morning. That you would take these words from this psalm and let them change your life. In Jesus' name, let's sing together.